This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, the operative word this week on Cross Hope is the word intervention. I don't know what that word means to you, depending on your personal history, your family history, or just experiences in general. We're going to talk all this week about the greatest intervention of all, God becoming man through a baby in Bethlehem. It's from the book of Galatians, the 3rd and 4th chapters. I hope you'll listen all this week. Let it speak to you beginning today. God bless you. Tom Murphy is a minister in Madison, New Jersey. He writes a powerful story. I want you to listen to just 2 paragraphs. A number of years ago, a friend of ours who is an alcoholic went through what's known as an intervention. We didn't know him back then, but we've heard his story many times. His drinking had gotten out of control. His addiction was destroying his life and the lives of those around him. Finally, one day, his friends and family gathered and had an intervention. They told him that this was the chance for his life to be saved. They told him that this was his chance to choose light over darkness. This was his chance to choose life over death. He went into rehab and began his life of sobriety that's continued to this very, very day. An intervention is described in this way. It can be an orchestrated attempt by one or many people to get someone to seek professional help with an addiction or some kind of traumatic event or crisis or other problem. The term intervention is almost often used when the traumatic event involves addiction to drugs, alcohol, pornography, or some other thing. Intervention can also refer to the act of using a technique within a therapy session. Medically, intervention can be a pre-treatment strategy that focuses individual help that the person needs. You say, where are you going with this? The greatest intervention of all in the history of the world was when God intervened in history. And the Bible puts it this way in the scripture we're going to read today. In the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, meaning fully human by being born of a woman, fully God, and then conceived of the Holy Spirit. But God sent his son to redeem us and to make us adopted sons and daughters. That's pretty heavy. Let's read about it in the quintessential passage about this to me. It's Galatians 3. Paul is speaking, and in verse 26, he says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." What does that mean? All the barriers are down in Christ. "If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and are heirs according to the promise. What I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by whom? His father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come," King James Version, "in the fullness of time," I love that phrase, "in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to do what? To redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons or adoption."
Well, if you were listening last week, you may remember that we said this week begins our 36th year of broadcast of our messages on the radio. Doesn't seem possible. 35 years ended last week around Christmas. We begin our 36th year this week. Glad you're a listener to Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to this message or any other. God bless you.
Now then, today, part 2 of a message we began yesterday from Galatians 3 and 4 about God's intervention into the human race. We begin with a story by author Rita Snowden that I think will touch your heart.
Rita was from Auckland, New Zealand. She wrote 60 books that blessed the lives of millions of people. You will remember, most of you will remember this story if you come here with any regularity. Rita's the one who wrote about the three British soldiers during World War I who wanted to bury their dead sergeant, wrapped his body in a canvas, and wanted to bury him in a Christian cemetery. So they took his body to a Catholic cemetery that had a fenced-in cemetery right next to the church, and they asked the priest, "Can we bury our sergeant in your cemetery?" And Rita Snowden said, the priest said that, "I need to know if he's a baptized adherent to the Roman Catholic faith. We don't know what he is. We just want to bury our friend." The priest graciously said, "Well, I'll tell you what you can do. You can bury your friend, your sergeant, just outside the fence." And they did. Had a prayer and left. And 5 days later, they were shipping out and they came back to pay their final respects. And you remember this part of the story. They couldn't find the grave. They couldn't find his grave. If you've been around a cemetery, you can see a fresh grave that was dug 5 days ago, I guarantee you. They came to the priest, and the priest said, "I was so convicted in my spirit because I wouldn't let you bury your friend in the cemetery. The next day, I went out and I moved the fence. I moved the fence to include the body of your sergeant." And Rita Snowden would say, that's what love does. Love moves fences. Love takes down fences in the name of Christ. And I asked the question a month or so ago when I told that story, what fences need to come down in your life today? What walls need to come down, not in your strength, but in the name of Christ and in the power of Christ? Here's the funny story Rita Snowden tells. Rita lived in Auckland, New Zealand, as I mentioned, and she had a piano teacher in the neighborhood who said, "Rita, may I use your house to give piano lessons?" Rita said there was one young man that was all boy. His shirt tail was always hanging out. He was covered with sweat. He was always covered with dirt. And he was more interested in talking than he was taking a piano lesson. So he would stall. He would come and he wasn't prepared and he would just tell the teacher, "You won't believe what happened at school. Let me tell you what happened today." And then he would regale her with stories of what was going on at school. Well, one day he came in and Rita Snowden said that the teacher said, "What's new?" He said, "Well, at school today, I discovered a book in the library. It's called Who's Who in New Zealand." "Well, did you see anybody you knew?" He said, "Yeah, my grandfather. I found my grandfather's in the Who's Who of New Zealand. My dad's in the Who's Who of New Zealand." And then very, very pridefully, he said, "I'm in the book, Who's Who." He said, "What?" And the teacher said, "What do you mean you're in there?" "Well," he said in an indirect way, "in the article about my dad, it describes his education and where he was born and his job and his career. And at the last line said, he has one son. That's me. He has one son." He was so proud of the fact that he made Who's Who of New Zealand because he's referenced as the son of somebody listed in the book. Listen carefully. You don't hear anything else today. I want you to go home with this. According to the Apostle Paul, he says, you all are sons and daughters of the living God through faith in Jesus Christ.
Well, this standalone message from Galatians continues tomorrow on Cross Hope. We mentioned yesterday that we begin our 36th year of broadcast on the radio this week. Doesn't seem possible. We've been doing this for 35 years, and this is the beginning of the 36th year. We're glad you're a listener to Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
According to the Apostle Paul, he says, you all are sons and daughters of the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. He says, all of you that were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. Maxie Dunham would say that phrase, clothed with Christ, means more than just physically putting on a garment. It means you're clothed with Christ's spirit and personality, with his character. You're clothed with what makes Jesus unique, and that his uniqueness then becomes a part of our life, that we're not the same. We're not cookie cutter replicas of everybody else. We're different because we're clothed with Christ. Let's bring up verse 3 of chapter 4. So also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. What are the basic principles of the world? Well, we talked about them in Ephesians. There's three of them. Humanism, materialism, and hedonism. Big words, but simple meaning. Humanism says man is God. That's a basic principle of the world system apart from Christ. that man is God. You have heard people speak that the highest being in the universe is man. God's not God, man is God. Materialism says money's God. Money is God, money is everything. That's part of the world system, the basic principles of the world. Hedonism says pleasure is God. Whatever makes me feel good, that's what I'm into. That's what I worship. And so the basic principles of the world, humanism, materialism, and hedonism. And Paul said, before coming to Christ, all of us were slaves to that. But then look at verse 4, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, verse 5, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. God sent his son to enter the earth, not so that you'd be a nicer person to live with. God didn't send his son so you'd be more tolerable to the family, and they'd say, well, I think we can put up with him another year because he believes in Christ. God sent his son to redeem us. Redemption always presupposes bondage. If you see the word redeemed, it means somebody's in bondage. We were, you were, and so was I. We're redeemed by the blood of Christ, the Bible says. And we're given the rights to be called the children of God, the rights of adoption. When I preached a message on adoption from Ephesians, a number of people came out and told me that either they were adopted or their children or a son or daughter is adopted. And people I didn't even know were adopted were. And one of them somebody pointed out to me that in the state they came from, and I don't remember the state it was, but here's what they said. I found this fascinating. In that state, you can disown your biological son or your biological daughter. But you adopt somebody, you can never, never, never disown a son or daughter you've adopted. Do you see the power in that? What a powerful illustration. I can disown my own son or daughter, but I can't adopt somebody in that state and disown them. Once they're adopted, they're always my son. They're always my daughter. What a lesson. What a spiritual application. When the Bible gave a whole new dimension to me that we are adopted into the family of God.
I don't know if you've ever thought about the idea of being adopted into the family of God. Adoption is an important word biblically. It really is. More than you know, more than I know. And we've been adopted through Christ into the family of God. We belong to Him as adopted sons and adopted daughters. This message continues tomorrow on Cross Hope. Remember, this is the beginning of the 36th year of broadcast of our messages on the radio this week. That's crosshope.org. Crosshope.org.
I told an interesting story, at least I think it was an interesting story at the first services. It was a story about Adolf Hitler. It's a story about a car that he drove. Listen to a description that somebody saw this at a museum. I've had several people tell me since then they've seen it, they've saw it at a museum or somewhere. It was a car that was from 1943, 1944. It was made in those 2 years. A Mercedes-Benz 770 K, Adolf Hitler's last car. It was delivered to him on March 17th, 1944. The only automobile built in those 2 years. Crafted totally by hand over a period of 15 months, the armor-plated vehicle was designed for Hitler's personal use, get this, at a cost back in 1943 of $2 million. That's a lot of money back in 1943. It weighed 5.5 tons. It had 8 cylinders that would develop 400 horsepower to a top speed of 120 miles per hour. Gas mileage, 2.5 miles to the gallon. 2.5 miles to the gallon. The car's wheels were bulletproof, as were its 2-inch thick windows. The floor was mineproof in that day. The doors consisted of 1-inch armor plate and weighed approximately 900 pounds each. In the rear is a compartment for the Schmeisser submachine guns and German Lugers. Now, what's fascinating to me is not all of that, but all of that $2 million to protect Adolf Hitler, and on the dash of the car was a separate key that if you turn to the right, it would send a spark to the 66-gallon gas tank and blow that car to smithereens. I thought, Isn't that ironic? You build a $2 million car and you have a key switch on the dashboard that you turn it and it destroys everybody in it and the car itself. You know what? I thought of it as a parable for what goes on in our country. People spend money and we buy things to enrich our lives and we buy things to bless us and we think this will be a blessing. But if I get this, it'll really be a blessing. And if we get two of these, it'll be a blessing. And then day by day, we're self-destructing our lives with our habits and self-destroying our lives with choices and self-destructing with decisions we make. And I'm not saying talking about suicide. I'm talking about destroying your life a day at a time. Destroying anybody's life a day at a time. Isn't it ironic that you can do so much to bless your life and at the same time, we do the very things that destroy our life. God didn't call us to a life of self-destruction. He called us to sonship, a life of being a son or daughter of the living God. John 1 would say it this way, as many as believed in Christ, as many as received him, he gave the right to be called what? The sons and daughters of God. God never called you to be a religious fanatic. He called you to be a son or daughter. He didn't call you to be a religious zealot. He called you to be a son or daughter. He didn't call you to believe in a cause or believe in a set of principles, a set of stuffy principles. He called you to be his son or daughter, and he intervened in history. He intervened in history to intervene in your life. Do you get that? God intervened in history to intervene in your life today, and to intervene in your marriage, to intervene in your family, because that's what God does. Everything about the Lord smacks of intervention.
Well, normally intervention is considered a negative thing, but spiritually speaking, with Christ, it's a positive thing. He wants to intervene in your life to give you life. That's his purpose. I've come to give you life, he said, and life more abundant. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening to Crosshope.
Annie and I ministered in Columbus, Ohio for 18 and a half years. And I mentioned that the first two services, when you're in one place long, you get to know people in the community that have nothing to do with the church. I mean, you just get to know people in a town 18 and a half years. And there was a man that I would see come to Christmas Eve services every year, and I would see him at Easter. But I would never see him at any other time of the year. So I, after 3, 4, 5 years of that, I stopped him and I said, you know, I notice you're here on Christmas Eve and I notice you're here on Easter, but I never see you at any other time. Do you go to another church? He says, no, I just come here on Christmas Eve and I come here on Easter. And he said, Randy, I want you to know this. I weep during your entire sermon on Christmas Eve and I weep on Easter Sunday morning during your sermon. It really has a powerful impact on me. I'm thinking, is this what it means to be a son or daughter of God? You come Christmas Eve and Easter and you cry through the whole service. God didn't call us to that. He called us to sonship. He called us to be his son and daughter in the Lord. Maybe what that says to me is his weeping is not what he thinks it is. Have you ever discovered or pay attention when you weep, find it when you notice that you're crying or a tear comes to your eye, I think you need to pay attention and look at what is it that's bringing this emotion up out of me? What is it that's spurring me on to tears? And what it says to me, at least, was his tears were tears of regret. He wasn't rejoicing at the birth of Christ. He wasn't rejoicing at the resurrection. To me, at least, in my opinion, my perception, they were tears of regret. Don't spend Christmas regretting a relationship you don't have. Don't spend Christmas Eve regretting a relationship you don't have with a living God, but decide that as many as believed in him, he gave the right to be called the sons and daughters of God. And Paul would put it this way in Galatians, all of you have come to Christ, are sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ. You're baptized into Christ, you're clothed with him. I want to leave you with this thought. You're clothed with whatever you talk about all the time. You ever met somebody who all they talk about is politics? They're clothed with politics. Tell me what you talk about all the time, and I'll tell you what you're clothed with. Somebody talks about sports all the time. That's what they're clothed with. Somebody talks about things, and I'm going to get this thing, and then I'm going to get this thing, and then I'm going to get that thing. They're clothed with that. we as sons and daughters, adopted sons or daughters of the living God, are clothed with Christ. What matters to him matters to us. What's important to him matters, is important to us. That young boy in Auckland, New Zealand, was so proud of the fact that he said, I'm referenced in the book Who's Who in New Zealand. My dad's mentioned, and it says he has a son. That's me. That's me. Today, you read Galatians 3:27 through chapter 4, verse 7, and you say, that's me. That's me. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of the living God through Christ.
Well, all this week on Cross Hope, we've been reminding you that we have begun our 36th year of broadcast on the radio this week, the first week of 2018. But we also want to remind you of something we rarely say anything about, and that is that we're listener supported. What does that mean? We're supported simply by people like you, who not only pray for this program and pray for this ministry, you actually support it financially occasionally. Keep that in mind as you pray for us and think about Cross Hope this year in 2018. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to any other program you may have missed, to listen to this program again, or to find out more about being a listener who supports the program.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.